just comes and sweeps in. What a refreshing thing. You may be seated. Before we get started today, I do want to let you know that the Elements classes is starting a new cycle today. The Elements classes we offer here at Calvary Gospel are designed to help folks get a solid foundation for which they can grow their relationship with God. So we encourage everyone to go through these classes. Elements 1 class is being held today in the office wing, in the training room. If you just finished Elements 1, Elements 2 is being held across the lobby in the hospitality suite. So if you're interested or you need to transition to the next class, you are free to go to your classes at this time. Amen? Amen. Well, I am honored this morning to teach God's Word for Life. I want to thank Pastor Peter for the opportunity. I'm submitted to his leadership as my pastor, and I'm submitted to the leadership of my husband. Aren't we a part of an amazing church family? Amen. Yeah, you give yourselves a hand. Yeah. I also want to say hi to my friend Amy online. Hi, Amy. I love you. Thanks for watching today. On Father's Day, Pastor Peter shared an impactful message titled God at Work. How many of you remember that message, God at Work? If you missed it, I encourage you to go back and listen to it on June 15th. What amazed me was that it was the same topic as today, rest. And I believe that God is speaking something to us personally here at Calvary Gospel. So before we begin, I wonder if we could just all pray. Could we pray for our hearts to be open this morning? Could we pray for personal revelation this morning? Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, so much for this opportunity that we have to come together to study your word, to dig into your word, God. And I pray that as we do that, that you would open up our hearts and our minds, that you would give us revelation for our lives, that your word would take root in our hearts, God, and that it would be fruitful in our lives. Lord Jesus, let your anointing be here this morning, we pray. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. In our God's Word for Life series this month, we've been going through faith passages in the Bible, and today's topic is trust and rest. So let's check out our focus verse for today. It's Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Matthew 11, 28 through 30 says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Jesus invites us to come, and he promises that we will find rest. What a promise, amen? But I wonder, how many of you are like me? I sent this picture or this meme to a friend recently. Go ahead and put that first one up, Jane. It says, me, I need to take a day to relax. Also me, I wonder if there's a way I could relax that would be more productive. Does anybody feel that way? Yes. I'm glad there's others who can relate to that. It's funny, but it's so true. In the world we live in today, it's hard to slow down, stop, and just be, especially in America. There's a striving for more, for success, and so often I have personally worn my checked off to-do list like a badge of honor. I just feel good. Oh, look at all this stuff I got done. Yeah. And I have to ask myself, what's driving that? I remember the first time I ever went out of the country. I went with Phil to visit his family while they still lived in Germany. And it was so interesting. It was the first time I'd ever left the country. And everything just felt different there. There was just like a different feeling. But I remember when I came back to America and we landed, I got off the plane and immediately I felt like, oh my goodness, I have to hurry. I have to get my luggage and then we have to do this and I have so much to get done. Da, 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 da. And I just felt the Lord tell me to stop. And I was like, okay. And I really felt like he showed me that the spirit of our culture here in America is busyness. And so the question is, in this culture, how do we respond to God's invitation to rest? You know, it's kind of strange looking at Matthew 11 and that passage we just read, that a call to rest would also have a call to take on a yoke. Now, we've been talking about what a yoke is, but I'm just going to say it again, that a yoke, it's a wooden bar that joins two animals together, and they're coupled together so that they can work together. So in Jesus' day, they often paired a seasoned ox with a young ox, and they understood that the seasoned ox would actually bear most of the load, but by yoking them together, the young ox would learn and be led by the seasoned ox. And in the same way for us, when we yoke up with Jesus, he carries the burdens. He teaches and leads us. I don't want to yoke up with the spirit of busyness in this culture. I don't want to let it be my guide and my teacher. I want to put on God's yoke and learn of him. And we're going to talk more about this later, but this passage implies that rest isn't passive, but requires action. It says, come, take my yoke upon you, and learn. So what is rest? Let's define rest a little bit. Let's make a framework for that. The word rest is both a noun and a verb. It's a thing and an action. So as a noun, it means sleep, freedom from activity or labor, peace of mind or spirit, something used for support. As a verb, it means to sleep, to cease from action or motion, to be free from anxiety or disturbance, to remain confident, to trust. So the first mention of rest in the Bible is found in Genesis 2:2-3. The first mention of an idea in the Bible is often seen by theologians as key to framing its context. So let's check this out. Genesis 2:2-3. It says, and on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. So what does this tell us about rest? Rest is spiritual. God is a spirit and he rested. And rest is important to God. He blessed and he sanctified the day he rested. Now let's move on quickly. We're going to go through these passages to set a framework. The next significant passage is Genesis 2:21-22. So in Genesis 2:21-22, it says, and the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. And then the rib which he brought, or which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. So this is the first time that sleep is mentioned in the Bible. And so what does this tell us about rest? Rest is physical. Humans were made to rest. And that God can do a creative work in us and for us while we rest. How many of you have kids? Can I see a raise of hands? Yes. And how many of your kids are like this? Let's just see. Go ahead and put up that image, Jane. No one has more on their to-do list than a kid at bedtime. Or at bedtime, my children turn into dehydrated philosophers who need a hug. Can I get an amen? The struggle is so real. In my house, I have two energetic little boys. Every time at bedtime, they're like, why do I have to go to sleep? I don't want to go to sleep. I wish I could just stay up all night. I have so much fun to have. And my answer to them is, because that's how God made our bodies. We were made to sleep. Now, it's kind of harder to teach the tiny humans that concept, but we were made to rest. Amen? The next significant verse is Genesis 3:17. It says, then to Adam he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it, cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. What does this tell us about rest? Well, sin brought toil into the world, and toil is the opposite of rest. And so this is the first time we see this sense of unrest. Sin led to unrest. The last passage we're going to look at is Exodus 16:23-30. This is a long passage. I will try to read through it quickly. Then he said to them in Exodus 16:23-30, This is what the Lord has said. Tomorrow is a Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you're going to bake, boil what you'll boil. Lay it up for yourself, all that remains to be kept till morning. So they laid it up till morning as Moses commanded. It didn't stink. There weren't any worms. Verse 25. Then Moses said, eat that today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it. On the seventh day of the Sabbath there will be none. Now it happened that some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather, but they found none. And the Lord said to Moses, how long do you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? See, for the Lord has given you the Sabbath, therefore he gives you on the sixth day bread for 2 days. Let every man remain in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day. What does this tell us about rest? Rest was scheduled. So a rhythm of rest in our lives is important. And it also shows us that some humans have a hard time resting, even in the Bible days. And in fact, in Exodus, this can be your homework, Exodus 31:15, see what had to be done to make sure that people were resting. Yikes. So to summarize, rest is spiritual, rest is important to God, rest is physical, we were made to rest. God can do a creative work in us and for us while we rest. Sin led to unrest in the world. A rhythm of rest is important. And some humans have a hard time resting, especially tiny ones. Amen. So this gives us a good biblical framework of what rest is. I don't know about you, but my to-do list is a mile long. I can easily get overwhelmed, and it's hard for me to prioritize when everything feels important. And I've heard people say, hey, your to-do list can wait. But that really feels like unrealistic advice. You know what I mean? Like, I could not do my dishes, and then we would not have clean dishes to eat off of. I could just not do my laundry, and we would have no clothes. I could just ignore my kids' needs or my husband's needs. But the reality is, there's a lot of roles I fill in my life, and there's things that come up that I feel like I just can't ignore. So what's the answer? How do I stop being a slave to my to-do list, and how do I prioritize? And the real question is, how do I find rest? It reminds me of a passage that's commonly referenced when talking about this topic. So we're going to check out Luke 10, 38 through 42. I'm going to read this in the Christian Standard Version. It's Luke 10, 38 through 42. It says, while they were traveling, he, referencing Jesus, entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who also sat at the Lord's feet and was listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks. And she came up and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? So tell her to give me a hand. The Lord answered, Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but one thing is necessary. And Mary has made the right choice, and it will not be taken away from her. Now, to be transparent, I've probably felt like Martha more than Mary these past couple months. I have been distracted by many tasks. We homeschool in our family, and as we were wrapping up our homeschool year this year, I got extremely sick. I've never really been bedridden before being sick, but I was literally bedridden and was told I needed to isolate from my family. I was very, very sick. And so we got majorly behind in our schoolwork. I had deadlines from the school that we were a part of, like looming over us for projects that needed to be turned in. I fell behind in housework, in laundry, in all the things. And once I felt better, I felt like I was just behind and trying to play catch up. And even then, I still felt really weak in my body. I was struggling to eat. I was just having a really hard time managing all of it. And in the middle of it all, I was overwhelmed, and I was talking to the Lord about it, and he put this verse on my heart. And although I've read it many times, I went back to look at it again. So let's look at Luke 10:42 one more time. says, but one thing is necessary. Mary has made the right choice, and it will not be taken away from her. Amidst all the tasks that were happening around Mary, Mary chose. And the Bible says that she made the right choice. And in that moment when I was talking to the Lord, I felt the Lord gently reminding me that I have a choice too. There will always be a to-do list, but I get to choose what matters most and what my priorities are. So Bishop taught us, and we've heard this so many times, but he's taught us that our priorities are God, the family of God, and the work of God. And in this case, Mary chose to stop, slow down, and sit at Jesus' feet. It was the one thing that was necessary. And so what I took from this is that rest is a choice. It isn't passive. It's an active decision that we make. Now again, I have identified with Martha, and I've been a little somewhat perplexed at Jesus' response to her. Imagine this. You have a house full of guests, and of course there are things that have to be done. Like, how are we going to feed people otherwise? So I don't know if you've hosted a large group at your house before, but yeah, there's a lot that needs to happen in order to feed people. And so, yeah, he's telling Martha, hey, you're so concerned. Yeah, Martha was concerned. But if we look at it, Jesus didn't negate all that needed to be done. Instead, he pointed out that Martha had allowed the tasks to distract her, take her peace, and she missed recognizing what was important in the moment. In contrast, I've often heard the story taught in a way that makes Mary seem like she was lazy or like she really didn't care. She's like, whatever, my sister can handle all this. I've kind of heard it taught like that before. But when I was looking at this again, the Bible says Mary chose. And so that means she knew the importance of the task to be done. She wasn't negating that those were valuable things, but she also recognized in the moment the right priority. And so she chose. So this is the real question I had to ask myself. When I feel like my to-do list or maybe the pressure of the roles I'm filling in my life are a taskmaster, when I feel anxiety and I feel worry or I feel a lack of peace over all that has to be done, when I'm task-driven, maybe it's a sign that my priorities are out of alignment. And I've seen this play out repeatedly in my own life. When I choose the one thing that is necessary, and that's being with Jesus first, everything else will fall into place. I've tested this. I've woken up in the morning and I felt that pressure of my to-do list and my roles and everything hanging over me. And despite that, I'm like, no, I'm going to set that aside and I'm going to sit with Jesus. And this is how I'll pray. God, I choose you first today. I submit my day to you, God. Lead me in what's best for me to do today, God. I'm stressed about this, and I don't know how to handle this, God, but I'm coming to you first. Lord, help me with that. Work this situation out, God. I give this to you, Lord God. Give me the strength to walk in this day how you've called me to walk in it. And I have seen God come through time and time again. I've seen him work out my schedule. Things just got canceled all of a sudden. I've seen him empower me to do things I didn't feel motivated or able to do on my own. I've seen him help me in unexpected ways. And, you know, it's kind of like tithing. When we give God the first fruits of our day, he helps us do more with the time that we have left than we could do on our own. And as a result, what's the end result? I feel more peace. I feel at rest. So rest is a result of having the right priorities. Now, I have a picture for you to look at because this is the thought that came to my head. When I put God first, I become spirit-led versus task-driven. Spirit-led. Now, a picture is worth a thousand words. This could say more than I could probably say in this moment, but think about that. Am I spirit led or am I task driven? There's a big difference, isn't there? There's a big difference in peace. If you're not sure what this is a picture of, cattle driving or a shepherd leading sheep. This is what walking in the Spirit is really all about. Being led by God in everything, even the mundane, even the fact that you have to do your laundry, even the fact that you have to clean your house or do your dishes, whatever it may be. When we choose to follow God's lead, we will find rest. Jeremiah 6:16 says, "Thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where the good way is, and walk in it. Then you will find rest for your souls." But they said, "We will not walk in it." How many times have I said, and I'm just speaking from my own personal life, no, I'm not going to walk that way. I want to do it my own way. I got this, God. Thanks for offering all that help, but I'm going to figure this out on my own. And how many times has that led to unrest in my life? And it reminds me of Isaiah 28:12. Isaiah 28:12 says, "To whom he said, this is the rest with which you may cause the weary to rest. This is the refreshing. Yet they would not hear." As I was preparing for this lesson this morning, this scripture kept going in my mind over and over again. This is the rest. This is the refreshing. This is the rest. This is the refreshing. And yet they would not hear. And I felt in my spirit, God, help me to have ears to hear. Help me, Lord God, to come to you when you're calling for me because you have rest and you have refreshing for me. And you may ask, well, where is this place of refreshing? Acts 3:19 says, "Repent, therefore, and be converted that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from where? The presence of the Lord." He wants to give us rest. And we experience that rest when we choose to enter into his presence, to walk in his ways, to listen to his voice. Really, rest is a result of obedience. Now, this is interesting because we just read Isaiah 28:12, and it's, this is the rest, this is the refreshing. But a couple chapters later in Isaiah 30, God is speaking to Judah. Isaiah 31:3. "Judah trusted in their own strength and decisions. They trusted in Egypt's help and protection." And I'm going to read it in the New Living Translation. It says, "What sorrow awaits my rebellious children, says the Lord. You make plans that are contrary to mine. You make alliances not directed by my spirit, thus piling up your sins. For without consulting me, you've gone down to Egypt for help. You've put your trust in Pharaoh's protection. You've tried to hide in his shadow. But by trusting Pharaoh, you will be humiliated. And by depending on him, you will be disgraced." But jumping down to verse 15, it says, "This is what the sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says. Only in returning to me and resting in me will you be saved. In quietness and confidence is your strength, but you would have none of it." So the question I ask myself is, am I self-dependent, depending on my own capabilities and my own strength? Am I codependent? Am I thinking that somebody, a pastor or somebody else, that I can depend on them? Or am I God-dependent? And another question to ask is, do I live for God or do I live from God? They both involve capacity, but the difference is who I'm relying on. And when we rely on God, when we release control and we trust his ability instead of our own, it's like surrendering. We surrender fully to him. It's a posture of trust. So rest, true rest, requires surrender. Amen. I felt such a burden as I prepared for this. And I've been praying and been fasting and been thinking on, you know, I love to study a topic and dig it out in the scripture and think about all that it has to say. And I felt such a burden for this morning. And I want to ask you, where are you at today? Are you stressed? Are you overwhelmed? Are you anxious? Are you worried? Or maybe you're busy and you're running from one thing to the next, or you're distracted, or maybe you're tired. Jeremiah 56 says, "My people have been lost sheep. Their shepherds have led them astray. They have turned them away on the mountains, and they have gone from mountain to hill. They have forgotten their resting place." Who or what is shepherding or leading us today? And have we forgotten our resting place? If so, that's okay. We've all been there. I've been there. I've been distracted by many, many things. And here's what Isaiah 53:6 says. It says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way." So maybe that's you today. Maybe you've gotten distracted, and that's all right. But here's what Psalms 116:7 says. It says, "Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you." Today, you may need to remind your soul, like this passage says, "Return to your rest, soul." Maybe I got led astray, whatever, but that's okay. Soul, it's time to return to your rest in the Lord. It's time to say, okay, I'm running. This morning I asked them to sing that song. "I'm running to your arms, God. I'm running back into you today." Yeah, life has a lot of pressures. There's a lot of things that go on in our lives, but I get to choose today to go to my place of refreshing. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. Life is hard. And as Christians, we aren't promised a life free of trials. I wish it were that way. I kind of grew up thinking that's how life was, that life as a Christian should always feel blessed and you should never have difficulties. And I have grown since then to understand that that's not true. But God does promise that he will be with us, that he will never leave us or forsake us, and that we can take refuge in him. In this season of my life, I am doing some very deep healing work. And I've had to face some of my biggest fears. I've had to look at the pain of my past straight in the eye. And as I've done so, although it's been really, really hard, something so beautiful has become clear to me. And that's that Jesus was always with me. I received the Holy Ghost when I was 4 years old. It was right before my 5th birthday. And I look at a 4-year-old now, and I think, wow, how in the world? But God knew that I needed his spirit for what was ahead in my life. And he was with me. He was always available for me to run to through every abuse, through every betrayal, through isolation, through loneliness, through grief. God was there through it all. And I feel it so strongly this morning that he is calling me and he's calling you to come to him. Again, Isaiah 28:12 has been heavy on my heart as I've prepared. This is the rest. This is the refreshing. And I want to ask you, what kind of rest do you need today? Is it physical rest? Is it emotional? Is it mental? Do you need a spiritual refreshing? I don't have all the answers for why. I don't have all the answers for why bad things may happen, why you may be in the situation that you're in. Sometimes life just doesn't make sense. But I am a testimony, and I do have the answer for who. I am a testimony that Jesus is the one that you can run to, no matter what you're facing, no matter what your situation is. He is the one. He is the one that can handle it. Thank you, Jesus. And so I'm asking you today, will you come to him? Will you yoke up with Jesus? Will you choose rest? Will you realign your priorities? Will you commit to obey? And at the end of the day, will you fully surrender? I believe God has a refreshing for us today. Come to Him. Let Him carry it. It's not too big for Him. Let Him carry the load this morning. Now, I asked the Lord what I should do if I had some time left over. And I do. And so I feel that this is a really good time for us. I'm not going to have us stand, but I want us to take time to respond, whatever that looks like for you. You know where you're at in life. You know what situations you're facing. You know the hard. You know the places where you are feeling weary or tired or worn out. And the thing that I've been praying for this morning is that if there's somebody here today who just is weary, if there's somebody here today who is just weary from going through life and carrying the loads that you're carrying, I've prayed that there would be a spirit of refreshing that would come over you this morning. So I'm going to ask wherever you're at, if you would just bow your heads and if you'd close your eyes and if we could just take this time to respond to what the Lord is doing. Lord, we thank you so much for this opportunity that we have to study your word, to learn from your word, God. And we pray, Lord God, that there would be a spirit of refreshing and a spirit of peace that would sweep into the sanctuary right now, Lord God. And I pray that we could release our burdens, that we could release the loads that we're carrying, Lord God, right now, Lord Jesus. And I pray, God, that as we release those things to you, God, that you would, Lord God, replace that heavy burden with a feeling of refreshing, God, with a feeling of peace, God. You've been talking to us about this, God, in different ways. You have been reaching for us here personally at Calvary Gospel Church. You've been calling us, God, to lay down our burdens, to lay down our loads, to live being spirit-led and spirit-directed, God. You don't want us to be driven by pains and traumas and worries and doubts and all of those things, God. You want us to be driven and led by you, Lord, because your yoke is easy, God, and your burden is light. If you feel his presence this morning, would you just take some time to reach out to him right now? Hallelujah, Jesus. We reach for you this morning, God. We accept your refreshing this morning, God. We accept your spirit washing over us with peace, God, with comfort, with renewal of our hearts and our minds and our spirits, God. We come into your presence, God, and we accept, God, the refreshing, Lord God, that you have to wash over us this morning, God. You're going to do it for me, I know, and you're going to do it for every person that is here. And when we leave the sanctuary today, God, I know that we're going to leave walking in rest and peace. And we claim it and we thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Can we give him a hand clap of praise? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Now, I won't have you stand, but I will remind you, parents, that if you have children, which if you are a parent, then yes, you do have a child. Please remember to go get your children at this time. Everyone else, feel free to turn around and greet somebody. And our worship service will begin again here at 11 o'clock.